Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, second hour. This hour we devote to conversation about gambling, but not the kind they do in Vegas, gambling with your eternal destiny. The French philosopher Blaise Pascal is famous for writing a lot of stuff and also for his wager. And today we talk about that wager with the philosophical mind of Matt Frad. 888-318-7884 is the number. Maybe you know about Pascal's wager. Maybe you do not. If you are, perhaps you are one of those people who thinks, it's not that impressive. I don't really get what's all that impressive about Pascal's wager. Give us a call and we'd like to discuss it with you. Or maybe you're not familiar with it and but you'd like to hear about it. Well, you would like to hear about it because it's one of the most famous kind of arguments for belief in God ever made. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. As I said, Matt Frad is our guest this hour. Matt is the director of content development for Integrity Restored and a best-selling author and popular speaker. His most recent book we talked about on this show with him, The Porn Myth. It became a number one bestseller on Amazon, and he's also very, very famous now. I guess famous is the word for Pints with Aquinas, his podcast. Matt Frad, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. So I don't want to correct you right off the bat, but I don't work for Integrity Restored anymore. I am officially unemployed, self-employed, however you want to describe it.
I prefer unemployed, but but you know what? As I was reading it, I was like, no, I think I left
that
an old thing.
Right. No problem. Right. I tell you, I miss Catholic Answers. You know, I used to work there before you. Yeah. I was there 3 years, and I really would love to come back and see y'all. It's really cool how you guys have taken the radio show to a whole new level.
Well, we haven't moved, so you probably can find us in the same spot. Because it would be that would be great if you could if you would come by. But I know you're a big deal now, and so that might not be in the cards. But Pints with Aquinas,
okay. That's not true at all. That's very nice of you.
But Pints with Aquinas, I find people like, what is it that people have a hunger for? I don't know,
Pints.
Intelligent conversation that's also humane. That's the way I'm going to put it for you. But what do you make of it? Because I think people really, really have taken to Pints with Aquinas.
Well, thanks. It was Chesterton who said of his little book on Aquinas that his work, he's not pretending it to be anything other than it is, which is just a basic introduction to the life of Aquinas. And he said if people go on from that book to read better authors and better works on Aquinas, he would consider his job done. I think my podcast's good. I put a lot of effort into it, and I'm happy with it. So I'm not trying to denigrate it, but I wouldn't consider myself an intellectual per se. I like to try and keep one foot in both worlds and to perhaps help people understand Aquinas who otherwise wouldn't. And if they go on to read better books, then my job's done. That sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. All right. So how do you come across your interest in Pascal's wager then? Because Pascal, much more modern, a modern figure, and thinks very differently from what you would expect from Aquinas. How did you come across Pascal's wager? What do you make of it?
Yeah. So, I mean, Aquinas famously put forth five arguments in the Summa Theologiae for the existence of God. These are five metaphysical arguments that aren't really original to him either. They kind of date back to Aristotle and some Arabic philosophers. Pascal, living in the 17th century, a contemporary of Descartes, didn't have much time for metaphysical arguments. He didn't think they were very good. He didn't think they were very convincing. And he talks about this in the Pensées. So the Pensées was a work he was writing on Christian apologetics. He died, which sort of got in the way of him publishing it, and his devotees took his notes, put it together, and published his work, which is cool and frustrating, right? Like, it's cool because if you have ADD or something like that, you'll like the Pensées because it's sort of these bite-sized morsels of his thoughts, you know? So you can kind of just pick it up and peruse through it. It's a little frustrating, however, because sometimes the thoughts aren't fully fleshed out or complete. And so in the Pensées, I think he has three different attempts at this famous wager. So because of that, I think we have to give Pascal the benefit of the doubt. We have to employ the principle of charity. Just like if somebody took your computer after you died, took all the things you were writing and then published it, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, like this wasn't ready for publishing, you know. So I think sometimes people are a little too critical of Pascal, and that we should really put forth the best version of his argument, of his wager, and then see if that's any good. But anyway, so
well, first
Pascal
of all,
wasn't a fan of metaphysical arguments, so he put this forth instead.
Okay. If they published what I've written on my computer, it would just be a gift to humanity. I feel that. That's the way I feel about it. So I understand the point you were trying to make, but I do feel that would be a great gift to humanity.
I wonder how you would leave clues to people so that they could do that for you. You know, like if you want big red arrow sticker pointing towards your computer.
Right. They'll have to figure out my
number.
If anyone needs the password to my computer, it's Catholic Answers Superstar. So just in case you need that. All right. So what is the wager? What is Pascal putting as you said, the best construction on it? Because he dying will interrupt your publishing career. So we don't have what maybe would have been his final, most perfectly phrased example. But the best construction on it, what is the wager?
The best construction of it is, as briefly as I can, and then maybe we can respond to some objections or some further questions, is basically if the evidence for God's existence and atheism seem equal to you, then you can't make a decision based on evidence because you've looked at the evidence and it appears equal. So what are you to do? Well, at this point, it's not irrational or wrong to make a decision based on self-interest. And so the wager is an argument, you know, based on self-interest, in which you say, okay, well, if I act as if God exists and I believe, what do I get? Or if I go ahead and not believe, what do I get? What do I lose? Now, this is a forced wager, right? Because to believe and to not believe are mutually exclusive ideas. It's not like there's a middle position. You can't suspend belief. If I don't believe in God, then whatever it is I'm doing won't be, it'll be the opposite of belief. It'll be unbelief of some variation. And so that's basically Pascal's wager. He says, look, you've got a decision to make. You can believe or not believe. What are you going to get? What are you going to lose? And then he fleshes that out and says, well, if you go ahead and believe in God, you know, you get the satisfaction of knowing that you live in an intelligible universe that's been created by a intelligible mind who has a plan for your life. You get the satisfaction of having tremendous meaning, knowing that your relationships don't end at the grave, that truth and that moral truths, all these sorts of things are actually real. Now, what do you lose? Well, at first you might say, well, you lose a lot of things. You know, if you believe that God exists, you wouldn't get to do those things that maybe you would do if you weren't a Christian, but darn it, you're afraid that you'll get caught in the end. Or you might say, well, you get to sleep in on Sundays. But Pascal doesn't think this adds up to anything, really, because he thinks the moral person, even though at first it appears that he's losing, that he's actually gaining. So he thinks you win everything and you lose nothing. Whereas the atheist, if you bet on atheism and God does exist, then you lose all of that stuff and what you gain is nothing. So, okay, we could flesh that out a lot more, but that's the bare bones of it.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer the spelled version. Matt Frad is our guest, and we're discussing Pascal's wager. Is it? Does it convince you? Does it have the power to move you towards belief in God? Or maybe are you among those skeptics who say, I'm not moved by Pascal's wager? Maybe you could tell us, Matt, what is the... When people say no, I won't take Pascal's wager. You know, what in general do you hear as the argument? No, I'm not going to take that wager. I don't know if God exists, but I'm not going to wager as Pascal says. What's the why? Why won't they do it?
Right. So there's a number of objections that people raise, and if you go on YouTube right now and look up Pascal's wager, you'll see tons of different atheist videos trying to refute it. One of the things they might say is, okay, there's more than two options here. This isn't as black and white as Pascal wants to make it. It's not as if your only choices are between Catholic Christianity and atheism. There are all sorts of gods that people have come up with. And these religions might say that if you don't follow their version of God, you'll be thrown into hell at the end. So it doesn't work because there's multiple options. So that might be something people say, or they might say this is a bad argument for God's existence, and the response to that is yes, it is, because it's not an argument for God's existence, it's an argument for belief in God. Or they might say, this seems really cheeky. You know, and they wouldn't say cheeky if they were American, but they say, yeah, kind of cheeky, you know, you're sort of saying you want to get something out of God, and so you got to act in a certain way, and it doesn't seem like you should believe in God just to get something. You should believe in God because you love him, and those sorts of things. So those would be some of the objections.
Ah, fair enough. All right.
What do you think?
Well, I'm spinning around and around. I'll tell you what, the latter doesn't get me that much, but the first one, the idea that, well, there are more than two options. Someone might say, well, you know, he's a Frenchman living in the heart of the Catholic country. So to him, there are two. But what about Islam, or what about Judaism, or what about Hinduism and all that? That one strikes me as a more compelling objection to this.
Yeah. So William James, who was a pragmatic philosopher, wrote a lot on Pascal's wager, and he talked about this thing called a live options. So there are certain things that aren't live options for us, and there are certain things that are. And at any given moment, I think it's fair to say it's not like we're being torn between 300 or 400 or 500 different religious systems.
Ah, yeah.
Right? Like, that just doesn't happen. Maybe three. Like, maybe you look at the evidence for Islam. Do you really think that that's equal to Christianity? And you might say, well, no, I guess I think Christianity is probably more probable. Or maybe you say Islam is more probable. Okay, well, then let's do Islam and let's do against atheism, that sort of thing. But so, yeah, maybe the wager doesn't work if you think every religious worldview is equal.
Right.
But most of us don't think that. And so the wager might not work for you. But I think there are many people, and I meet them at university campuses and things, and they say, you know what? I've just binge-watched 100 William Lane Craig debates. I've read Trent Horn's stuff on atheism. And, Matt, I want to believe. I just don't know. And, you know, and you get the sense that they really can't tell one way or the other. And I'm like, okay, well, just act as if it's true then. And that isn't a suggestion to be a hypocrite. It's not an invitation to be a hypocrite. It's basically saying, since you can't decide, act as if it were true. And Pascal talks about that. You know, if you can't decide, then take holy water, receive the sacraments, and these sorts of things. Learn from those who went from unbelief to belief. Do what they did. Fake it till you make it, to put it crassly, and pray for the grace that you need to have saving faith.
I want to talk about what you, Matt Frad, think will happen if you do that then. What do you think will happen if you take Pascal's wager and say, all right, I will start living as if Christ is God and the church is his people. What do you think is going to happen? But I gotta take a quick break before we do that.
Sure.
888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. Matt Frad is our guest. And I will remind you again, store-wide summer sale, it ends. I don't know why they do this. Summer goes on. It just keeps going on. But the summer sale, nope. It doesn't just keep going on. It ends when July ends. So right now, almost all of our books, audio, DVDs, tracks, digital products, everything, 10 to 25% off and more, including Matt Frad's books and DVDs. A little secret for you. Well, it's not a secret because I'm saying it on the air. You get an extra 10% off for the remaining days of July if you just put in the promo code SAVE, S-A-V-E. Go to shop.catholic.com. Save a whole bunch right now. We'll be right back with Matt Frad.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Matt Frad is our guest. He's got all kinds of great things, like his book Delivered, his book Restored. You wrote the book on atheism, the 20 Answers Atheism book.
Oh yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah,
me too.
And you forgot about it?
Well, almost.
Well, you solved the whole atheism situation with that book,
nothing
and then you forgot you did it. And his number one bestseller on Amazon, The Porn Myth. All fine books, all on sale at shop.catholic.com. Today we are not talking about Pascal's Wagger. That's his dog. No, that was terrible. Sorry. We're talking about Pascal's Wager. Thank you for that minimal nod at that horrible, horrible joke. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
Pascal's Wager, again, Pascal, a French philosopher and writer of many, many things, who gave us this idea that if all things being equal, you can't decide whether or not to believe in God. Well, try being a Christian and believe. Because you're not going to lose anything, and you might gain everything. Callers are starting to pile up. I don't want to ignore the callers, but I said I wanted to ask you this. Okay, so I'm just not sure. Okay, so I take the wager. I say, all right, I'll live as a Christian. And what do you think, Matt Frad? What do you think is going to happen to me if I do that?
Oh, well, since I think God exists, and since I think He answers prayers, then I suspect that if you return from your sin, that you repent with your whole heart, and that you begin to read the scriptures, to use the sacramentals perhaps, then I think you'll likely become a Christian. You don't have to. You might end up rejecting it, or theoretically you could hear some argument against Christianity that would shake you out of it. But this is more than theoretical for me. You know, my sister Emma Frad, who is now a Catholic, she writes a lot on these sorts of things, she came to Christ 10 years ago or something, after I did. And, you know, we argued quite a lot about Christianity. And I remember once she said to me, all right, I'm going to try and believe. And I remember saying to her, well, it's not enough that you just try and believe intellectually. You actually have to repent of some of these things maybe you've been involved in, some of these serious sins, you know. Ross, it's kind of like saying, well, I'll turn to God without turning to God. So she actually went to confession and had quite a powerful experience there and did her best to believe. And she's a Catholic, you know, and I think what she would say to you is she encountered the person of Jesus Christ. This didn't remain a surfacey thing. And that the more she's read on the topic, the more convinced she is that there's a good arguments to be a Christian and that the arguments for being an atheist don't work. That would be her position.
So you're saying, if I catch your meaning, that if you start talking to Jesus, he'll start talking to you. If you start listening and following.
Well, I think that's probably right. If God exists, and I think he does, then I think to make a genuine effort to follow him and to ask for the grace of conversion that you may grow in the faith, I believe that'll be answered.
Sounds like
If God doesn't exist, then maybe you just got to keep the hoax up for the rest of your life. But if he does, it seems to me that he'd answer that.
Spoiler alert, he does. Just so
answering,
you know,
atheism, huh? Trent Horn.
888-318-7884. Eli, I believe it's Eli. Could be Ellie, but I believe it's Eli in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on EWTN. You are first up with Matt Frad on Pascal's Wager today. Did I say it right, Eli?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Your question for Matt.
Yes. I'm a good Protestant evangelical Christian, and there's a lot of bad blood between us, Catholics and evangelicals. But I really appreciate what you guys have been doing on the show. It's been giving me a fresh perspective on Catholicism. So thank you guys for what you do. I'd just like to say that real quick.
Well, thank you for those very kind words. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So my question about Pascal's Wager, and maybe I just like kind of your perspective on this, but it seems at least in the evangelical world, there's a big emphasis on how we might say, you know, believing the right things. You know, you have to believe that God exists. You have to believe that you were raised from the dead. You have to pray the sinner's prayer, all of those good things. But the way Pascal's Wager is framed, it's almost a type of fake it till you make it type of thing. You know,
right.
It's like a, I can't, you know, even if you can't make yourself believe in it, so to speak, you know, you can act as though you believe like a Christian, but in an evangelical context, it doesn't seem like that would really help anything, because in the end, you're still unconvinced, you say to someone that might bring up the objection, well, I can't make myself believe something. I can't make myself believe in right. unicorns or that 2 + 2 = 5. So if I'm just not convinced that God exists, then what good is acting as though I believe God exists? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I'll do my best to answer it and see how I do. Yeah, well, if you're not convinced God exists, then presumably you won't believe. But if you're kind of teetering on the edge of belief and unbelief, and you make a decision to act as if God exists and to believe, as it were, to give assent to this idea, then I think the idea is that God stoops to conquer. Sometimes people critique the argument by saying that this is an appeal to, you know, your self-interest and to pleasure and to what you'll get. But, I mean, the apostolic message wasn't entirely devoid of that. It's not like they came out and gave kind of Anselm's argument and then proofs for the resurrection. They said, come and be baptized so that you can be saved, so that you can have eternal life. And so I don't think it's a big problem that we begin by appealing to self-interest. I think what I would say again is, look, I mean, Pascal was a faithful Christian, at least to some degree, you know, tried his best. So he wasn't inviting people to become a hypocrite. He wasn't saying, just believe even though you don't really believe and that's enough. What he was saying is, why don't you just act as if it's true and do the things that Christians do, and then, yeah, you're right, fake it till you make it, to put it frankly like that. I mean, sometimes I think Pascal's wager can be a little too theoretical. You know, we put it up on the chalkboard and we wonder whether or not it's a good thing. But, I mean, what about this idea? Suppose someone's on their deathbed, and in fact, this happened to my granddad. He was on his deathbed. He had never been baptized. He was never lived a Christian life. And he decided that he wanted to be baptized. And so he was baptized on his deathbed. You know, he took Holy Communion, and shortly after he died. Now, I suspect that if I was to say to my granddad, like, well, why did you do that? I suspect part of that was to hedge his bets. You know, it's probably not the case that he affirmed, much less understood, every particular truth claim of Holy Scripture or the Christian faith. And yet he was in a position where there were really no other options. I mean, it's coming to an end now, right now. And you might want to say to granddad, look, I understand you're not sure. You look at the evidence and you can't decide. Well, why don't you just, you know, make a bet on God, as it were? And again, the idea isn't that we would remain in that superficial faith, but that with the grace of God, we would go on to have saving faith.
Eli?
All right, yeah, no, thank you very much. That was, I think that was a wonderful answer. I just wanted to see if I could get another perspective on it. Thank you guys again so much for what you do. Have a great day,
and
all right?
Eli, thank you for, you know, I got to say this. I know you say there's bad blood between evangelicals and Catholics. I know so many evangelicals who, by their witness, teach me to love Jesus Christ in such a profound way, and so I'm deeply thankful to them. And I'm sure you're one of them,
yeah,
or I suspect you might be.
Love you guys. Have a good one, all right?
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Eli. Again, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Matt Frad is our guest, and we're discussing Pascal's wager, the idea that if you cannot decide whether there is a God or there isn't a God, well, take the plunge and try it. There, you got nothing to lose, and you got everything to gain. Modern people have all kinds of critiques of that wager, but well, do you have a critique? Would you like to know more about it? Are you thinking about making that wager yourself? Give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Dan in South Carolina, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. And Dan, this might be one of those ones where we got to hold you over to the break to get the full answer. Is that okay, Dan?
That's great.
All right, go ahead. Your question then for Matt Frad.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a question. I wanted to just relay my story of my learning of Pascal's wager 50 years ago by a math teacher at a Catholic boys' high school.
Okay, I'd love to hear the story. But Dan, you got to talk into
the
phone because it's a little hard to hear you.
He said, sophomore in high school, the boys were, you know, maybe starting to see a challenge to their faith, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you the story of a great mathematician, Rene Pascal." He said, "And here's Pascal's wager." He said, You look at the possibilities of God existing or not existing and whether you believe or you don't. He says there's four outcomes. You believe that he exists, you win. He says that's the path to heaven. He says you believe and he doesn't exist, you wasted an hour every Sunday. He says you don't believe and he doesn't exist, well, maybe you made the right bet. He says, but the fourth case, he says, you don't believe, but God exists. He says, put on your asbestos underwear, boys. And that was impressionable. 50 years ago, I learned Pascal's wager by that little lesson by a man.
Dan, thanks. Let's get Matt Frad's response when we come back on the other side. We are discussing Pascal's famous wager with the famous Matt Frad on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. Our number, more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are faith and science compatible? Join us this September 27th to the 30th as we tackle the topic of Catholic Answers' 5th National Apologetics Conference, Faith and Science, a lively and inspiring event designed to jumpstart your faith. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about a very special promotion we look forward to every year, our annual store-wide summer sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. This spectacular online event includes savings of 10 to 25% and more in some cases on every book, tract, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including my new book, What the Saints Never Said. With lower prices and a great selection, it's by far the best online Catholic sale of the summer. So log on now and all this month to the shop at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our very special prices. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Gloria Purvis with Jack Williams. Tomorrow, Tom Grenchick on Pro-Life Leadership, along with Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony List. Join us for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Matt Frad is our guest. You know Matt from... you do a lot of work around chastity and recovery from porn addiction and that kind of thing. Matt, you've also, as you said, you worked here at Catholic Answers for quite a while and you have done lots and lots of apologetics and speaking. And today we discuss Pascal's wager. And I'm having a good time discussing this because, you know, this is one of those things where I've always wondered, is that – like I never quite got to the point of thinking it all the way through. Does that work?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because – but our last caller, Dan, gave an interesting take on it from his teacher. I forget what grade he said he was in. When the teacher said, look, there's four possibilities. One, you believe in God and God exists. Boom. You got a ticket. Great. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the case. I mean, you do have to also
– Right. He's simplifying it make a point.
Yeah. It's very, very simple. Then the other one is – you believe in God and God doesn't exist. Well, what did you lose? You didn't lose anything. The next one is you don't believe in God and God. No. Yeah. You don't believe in God and God doesn't exist. Well, you didn't. You got it right, but you're never going to know about it because there's no afterlife. And then the fourth one was you don't believe in God and God does exist. And then this teacher said with charming colloquiality, get your asbestos underpants on, boys, because you're heading to the hot place. What do you make of all that, Matt?
Well, I think he put that in a sort of funny, abrasive sort of way to make a point. It sounds like the point was made. Obviously, it was a simplistic way of laying out the argument, and you know, there might be much that one agrees or disagrees with. Certainly, if you remained there and you thought that was the Christian message, that would be an impoverished view of the Christian faith. It would be, it wouldn't be one at all in a sense, you know.
Right.
But again, I said this to you over the break. Unless one has felt the anxiety of not knowing and wanting to know, of having weighed up the evidence for and against, and has kind of kept God up on the chalkboard, as it were, maybe this argument just feels like a trick, almost like you know, Anselm's ontological argument. You're like, I don't know what's going on here, but it feels sneaky. But I mean, I'd like, you know, put yourself on your deathbed for a moment. I don't know if this seems stupid to anyone on their deathbed. And in a sense, we're all on our deathbed, in the sense that we're all potentially a moment away from being judged. The other thing I think is quite interesting is if you choose to believe in God and God exists, then you'll die and you'll know that. But if you choose to believe God doesn't exist and you're right, you will never know that, ever, right?
Yeah.
God doesn't exist, then you die, it lights out, nothing. It's just, I mean, again, these aren't meant to be rigorous philosophical arguments. That was his point in the Poncés. He doesn't like metaphysical arguments. He thinks we should argue from the proofs of scripture and prophecy and miracles. That was Pascal's take. But these are kind of preambles to the faith, as Thomas Aquinas put it. These are those maybe obstacles that prevent one from truly opening up their heart to God or taking Jesus Christ seriously.
888-318-7884, our number. Travis in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, is up next. Travis, your question for Matt Frad.
Yeah, Matt, thank you. First of all, this is the first time I've actually listened to y'all's radio station, and actually this is the first time I've ever called into a radio station, so it's a pretty neat deal.
That's great. Two for two in one day.
Now, I will say that I had to listen to you tell the number like five times before I got it, but I actually did get it, so, you know. But anyways, so here's my question. Because I'm a presuppositional apologist in my thinking process, so and I've heard of Pascal's wager from an apologist that, you know, I followed, William Lane Craig and Zavi Rocky, Ravi Zacharias, and I love apologetics. So it's you know, discussing that, and I'm just a huge apologist. But in the last 5 to 10 years, I've migrated a little bit to the fact of more leaning towards the Calvinistic side of faith, meaning that God is the one that gives us our faith,
right,
and our belief, and that belief is just not an intellectual belief, but when someone believes,
amen,
if they truly believe, like in Romans, it talks about believing by confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart is from the dead. I mean, so the belief is a little bit more than just fake it to make it. But my
agreed
question is, how do you reconcile the fact that really I give God 100% of the credit to him, you know, taking my heart of stone and giving me a heart of flesh, and him the one that, you know, pulls the blinders off my eyes and gives me eyes to see and ears to hear, is I give that, that's how I believe that I was saved, even though I was only 9 years old. But through that time, my belief was actually a gift from God through grace and faith,
amen,
in Christ alone, by grace alone, in Christ, you know. And so how do you wager, you know, the Pascal's wager? Because I love the idea of Pascal's wager. In fact, I use it all the time.
Right.
But it's more to get the guy thinking,
yes,
that, hey, they're, you know, how wrong could you be? But it's also not cheapening the fact that, you know, that it is a commitment. It's not just a belief and go check the boxes on Sunday and do the rituals and the sacraments. It's like I tell people, the essence of who I am, everything that I am, is of God, and how I think, how I act, how I walk, how I talk. I mean, everything is to give him glory in everything.
Okay, Travis, let's let Matt respond.
Yeah, Travis, thank you so much, and glory to God for the faith that you have in him. Let me give you a quote, a quick quote here from St. Thomas Aquinas, having to do with faith. He says, believing is an act of the intellect assenting to the divine truth by command of the will, and here's the key bit for our purposes, moved by God through grace. All right? So it is an assent of the intellect to divine truth, but it's one that's made by the will, and that will is moved by God through faith. So I don't think I disagree with anything you had to say there. Saving faith is a grace of God. It is still a human act, but it is a gift of God. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says as much, right? That it's a supernatural gift that's infused into us. Now, we don't need faith to believe in God, though. Thomas Aquinas was clear about this, and it makes sense. You don't need faith for anything that can be proven by reason. And if God's existence can be proven by reason, then it's not an article of faith for God to exist. That's what Aquinas says in the first part of the Summa Theologiae, and I think it's pretty solid. Now, he says that doesn't stop anyone from believing who can't understand the arguments, but he's just saying, strictly speaking, God's existence, at least, isn't an article of faith. So one can come to know that God exists based on philosophical arguments or even a gamble sort of thing. But of course, we know that the demons believe that God exists, and yet they're damned for all eternity. And so clearly more than intellectual assent is needed. We need our will to be moved by God through grace so that we can accept him, so we can repent of our sins, so that we can receive baptism and so on. Maybe another way to kind of respond to your question, you know, you say, well, how can the wager work if faith is a gift of God? Well, when you think about it, every good thing we do is made possible by the grace of God. But that doesn't mean we're not free to do or to not do those good things or to have those good thoughts. And maybe this is where we'd begin to disagree on the role of human freedom. I'm not sure. But it's the church's position, the Catholic Church's position, that while God is sovereign while his will, you know, be brought about in time, that it isn't an infringement on human freedom. But that would be the basic answer, I think.
Does that sit all right with you, Travis?
Got it. Yeah, that's great. I just wanted to bring that a point, absolutely. Now, the God's sovereignty, we don't need to get in the weeds about that, but that would be definitely a different discussion that Ted, and that's just something in my life that I'm actually learning now that's very interesting. But yeah, no, thank you very much.
Can I make a suggestion? I think you'll really like it. There's an excellent debate between Trent Horn, who works at Catholic Answers, H-O-R-N, Trent Horn, and Dr. James White, who I'm sure you've heard of. If you go to YouTube and type James White, Trent Horn, they have an argument in which they do get into the weeds of this particular issue.
Thanks, Travis. I hope you'll check that out. I'd also like to send you a book because as you talk, I think there's a book we have that I think you might enjoy. You don't have to take it if you don't want it, but it's Jimmy Akin's book, The Drama of Salvation, which addresses many of the same things that you're discussing there. So if you stay on the line and Marie gets your address, we'll send you The Drama of Salvation. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. Tell you what, right now at this very moment, you can get a free MP3. It's called Confronting Contraception. And today, as a matter of fact, today is the 50th anniversary of the encyclical Humanae Vitae, the most controversial encyclical by any pope in the last 500 years. I don't know if that's exactly hyperbole, but I think it's probably not. And today's the 50th anniversary. If you want to know what that's all about and why the Catholic Church continues to maintain its position that openness to life, openness to one another are both essential elements of sexual intercourse within the bonds of marriage. We'd love to give you the free MP3. You just go to catholic.com. A little banner will pop up. It'll say free MP3, Confronting Contraception. It's a conversation between Trent Horn and Damon Owens, and you can have it for nothing today. Just go to catholic.com and get that free MP3. We'll be right back with more with Matt Frad on Pascal's Wager right after this.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. But one nickel in and it's empty. And I brought him home in a bag. And my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won him. You didn't win him. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host, and just having a great Wednesday afternoon. I had forgotten until I just said it that it was the 50th anniversary of Imani Vitae. Just real quick, I know this is we're taking a little trip here away from today's topic, but you've written and thought so much about these things. It was really prophetic what Paul VI did on that day in 1968, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. What I find fascinating is what he had to say about how the relationship between men and women will change should there be a widespread acceptance of contraception. He lists several points, and if you look at each of those points, they've certainly come to bear.
Yeah, God graced us with a good pope who stayed with the truth, but then he gave us another one shortly thereafter who could really flesh it out with the
glory to God.
Yeah,
glory to God.
Yeah, he keeps giving us these popes. It's like, do we really deserve this? That's not how God decides things. He just gives us what's best for us. 888-318-7884 is the number. Debbie in Kansas is next. Debbie's listening on Guadalupe Radio. Debbie, your question for Matt Frad.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call.
Happy to.
We're talking about Pascal and his, technically, salvation. 22nd review on me. I was born and raised Seventh-day Adventist, divorced, had to work on the Sabbath, got kicked out of the church with a certified letter, and married a Catholic, fell in love with a Catholic church on the East Coast, moved to Kansas, and it was completely different. It was nothing like what we had experienced in Virginia. And anyway, we ended up now being just kind of a non-denominational church and seemed to have many questions. And basically it is this, in a nutshell. Salvation. How do you get it? Can you lose it? And is it forever?
Right.
You know, they...
Oh, sorry, Debbie. Well, hey, I'll do my best to answer that. But before I do, since you do have a lot of questions, I would love to send you Trent Horn's book, Why Be Catholic, if you want to take it. I'll buy it, send it to you. Maybe you could help me with that, Si.
No, yeah, we're happy to. I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll be happy to send it to you.
Yeah, this is a wonderful little book that isn't too overwhelming, and it's very charitable to people of different denominations, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. How do you get it? Well, the church would say that the ordinary means by which we receive salvation is through baptism, that when we're baptized, our original sin and actual sin is forgiven, and we are infused with the life of God, and that we're now in a state of relationship with Him, and that if we were to die in that state, we'd be saved. Now, we can reject this gift of salvation that Christ has given us, because just because we receive salvation, that doesn't mean our free will has been taken away. If I give you a gift, even if it's a good gift, you can choose to give it back to me. And even though, you know, Christ says that no one will take us from the Father's hand, amen to that, but we certainly can jump out of the hand if you want. You know, we can reject the salvation given to us. But why would you do it? You don't need to do that, and if you don't do it, you'll be saved. I mean, that's the basic Catholic teaching on salvation, I suppose.
Debbie?
I really liked your answer on the fact that, for the MSI, that, you know, it's a gift from God, and you can just take it or not take it, and you can give it back. That just answered so much in my mind, and I just... That's awesome. Just thank you so much for this.
Well, hey, Debbie. Yes, stay on the line, and if you want, we'll send you that book. But I just want to assure you, I just feel moved by the Holy Spirit to tell you this, and I hope it doesn't sound patronizing, but you know, our Heavenly Father loves you dearly, and he wants to be in relationship with you, and all those things that you might look at in your life and think of as blotches, you know, he can turn into roses, and he's deeply in love with you, and he wants you to know his love.
Thank you.
Debbie, keep listening to Guadalupe Radio. They do a great job there. We're honored to be on their air, and call anytime. And especially, I'll just let you know, because you may not be familiar with us, I don't know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's open forum days. You can call and ask any question you want. So as you come up against questions as you move forward, give us a call on any Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll do our very best to give you an answer. But I got to move because a lot of people want to talk to Matt. So I will go to Josiah in Gladstone, Oregon, listening on 88.3 FM. Josiah, your question for Matt.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Matt, I have two quick points, and I'd love to hear your response to them. One is my problem with Pascal's wager is it assumes that the argument for the existence of God or non-existence of God is equal. And I've met very many people, in fact, I know almost no one that thinks both sides are equal. They all think one or the other. So at best, it's kind of pointless. And at worst, if you pick the wrong God or God turns out to be evil, then you've lost your integrity, which at that point, that's all you've had if you pick the wrong God and if God is evil. So I'd just be curious what your response is to those two points.
Yeah, those are good questions. So let me respond to them and then get your response if you want. So I guess the first thing I would say is the way, like, he doesn't take for granted that the arguments for Christian theism are on par with atheism. He's a practicing Christian who believes we have good evidences for the Christian faith. All he's saying is if you get to a point where you can't decide because you've looked at the evidences, then it's worth your while betting on Christianity. Now, you say that you've never met anyone like that, but I guess I can only go through my anecdotal experience. I have met people like that, not just people perhaps like my granddad who was on his deathbed and still hadn't been baptized, still wasn't sure but was running out of time. But I've met people on university campuses who say to me, look, I want to believe. I just don't want to be duped here, you know. And I've watched these different debates. I've read these different books. My atheist friends have given me their books. I just can't decide. And so in that instance, I think the wager would be applicable. Now, regarding one's, I'm not sure how you put it, credibility or how did you phrase that next
integrity.
Point? Integrity. Well, why does it matter if you lose your integrity? What's the problem? I mean, if God doesn't exist, why think that there's anything mind-independent about human morality anyway? So if he doesn't exist and you go ahead and bet on him, maybe you've lost integrity, whatever that means, but I don't think it matters in the end. But if he does exist, and then integrity does matter, then as you continue to grow in your faith and walk in your Christian walk, then you'll go not just from a superficial faith, but for one that's deeper and more meaningful. What do you think about that? I don't mean to give you glib answers to serious questions.
Yeah, I would say to that last point, well, if you really, it turns out to be the case that life is meaningless because the deity is evil, and all you're holding on to is your integrity, I wouldn't disagree that means life is meaningless and futile, but at that point, that is kind of all you have. So at least, the very least, that would be a last-ditch effort to give your life some meaning, to say, well, at least I won't support you.
Right,
as far as your first point, I feel that, is it really just you're believing because out of self-interest? Is that truly the case, or did you think that the Christian God had the better argument amongst all the other gods?
No, I think it would be self-interest. Oh, sorry. I mentioned this. Sorry, maybe I missed. Yeah, let me try that again. Maybe you didn't listen to me in the beginning of the show. What I said was the wager will only work if you are looking at two distinct options. So, yeah, like if let's say you can't decide between atheism, the God of Christianity, and an evil God, like you just mentioned, then I agree that the wager kind of won't work there. You're going to have to do another one. But if you're looking at Christianity and you're looking at other religions, you're like, no, Christianity makes the most sense. Like Anthony Flew was a prominent atheist in the 20th century who wrote a book about why he changed his mind on the existence of God. He's actually somebody who debated William Lane Craig as an atheist. You can find that online, but he came to believe in God. And in his book, he didn't become a Christian, but he said if there was one faith that looked true, given his research, he would say it was Christianity. So if somebody comes to that point and they say, yeah, Christianity or atheism, then at that point you can make a wager. The wager won't work if you've got several religions that all seem equally true and unproblematic.
Okay, Josiah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that about – sorry. I love that about flu, but my problem is that it is inherently just belief based on self-interest. And I would argue that you should believe based on what has the strongest evidence to it, which I am a Christian.
Right, but what if you can't tell? What if you can't tell? What if the evidence is equal, Josiah? Like, what if you can't tell? Then I think then at that point, why keep talking about evidence? Like, there's going to come a point. Like, if you're on your deathbed, you can't just keep claiming you want more evidence because this is a forced wager. You've got belief or unbelief. If you don't believe, whatever you do is going to be unbelief. If you don't unbelieve, then whatever you're going to do, believe. Like, that's the other component of this argument. It's a forced wager. Sorry, I didn't mean to come off too strong there. I'm just getting passionate.
I love the discussion. Then I would argue just admit you're an agnostic or you don't know. That would be the most honest thing to me, which –
not
that
the same.
But an agnostic,
my bias
an agnostic
is that you should believe based on the most evidence, but
right.
Self-interest.
Well, I think it's also difficult to separate self-interest from truth, right? Because as Christians, we believe that God is the fulfillment of all of our desires. So in seeking self-interest, in seeking our good, we are indeed, as it turns out, though we may not know it, seeking God. Because God, who is truth, is the satisfaction and fulfillment of all our desire.
Josiah, we're going to have to leave it there because I want to try to get one more call in before we close with Matt Frad today. And so I will say thank you, Josiah. Call again sometime if you'd like. James in Pensacola, Florida, listening on 102.3 FM. You're going to have to say your question very quickly, James. I apologize for that, but we got to do it.
Quick point. Pope Francis says prayer is the basis of faith. A human soul who sincerely turns to the Lord, even on a trial basis, we will pray. He will listen, and faith will follow. I think it's a good gamble.
Matt, what do you make of that? Does that Pope Francis's comment that prayer leads to faith, does that fit with Pascal's wager?
Right. So God is the author of faith. He gives us the grace so that we may have saving faith. Pascal's wager, I think, clears some of the rubble on the way to having true saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's all that this does. And then certainly prayer is nothing more than communication with the God who loves us. And no doubt we should pray for faith every day. And we kind of do that in the Our Father every day. When we say, hallowed be thy name and give us what we need, we can always grow in faith. And the author of faith, the giver of faith, is God himself.
It is the case, though, that lots of people will give the testimony that I came to my wit's end, so I gave Jesus a try. I said, Lord, I'm going to turn to you. I got nothing. And in those situations, very, very often, the consequence is a lifelong Christian, because giving Jesus even a little opportunity, he's very faithful and he will help you.
Yeah, right. And someone might say it's rather pathetic. You know, you came to your wit's end, you turned to Jesus. But of course, at the end of the day, when everything's said and done and everything's over with, either you'll be before the throne of God and no one will be laughing then or calling you pathetic. But of course, if God doesn't exist, then, there'll be no one to laugh either. And so, obviously, I'm of the opinion that the arguments for God's existence are superior to the arguments for atheism. That's one of the reasons I'm a Christian. But I would say to any of our listeners out there who have been really struggling, maybe really keeping God up on the blackboard, maybe binge-watching different debates, to just make a prayer to Jesus Christ and maybe to begin going to church and to read the Bible.
Thank you so much, Matt Frad. Thank you for that call, James. We appreciate that as well. And Matt Frad, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks.
You will come back again, right? We didn't just...
I'd be honored. I think I was the one who instigated this. I like being on your show. Thanks for having me.
Okay, very good. All right, we have that on record now. And thanks very much, Matt. In all sincerity, I hope your summer continues to go well. Don't forget, it's a store-wide summer sale at shop.catholic.com. We want to give you stuff with take a lot of money off of it. Stuff's 10 to 25% off already. And then now this, for the rest of the week, and until the last moment of July, excuse me, an extra 10% comes off of that. We'll see you tomorrow for Open Forum, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.